Beloved congregation of the Lord, this morning we come to the final sermon in a series that we've been going through, the Reformed Order of Worship. Children, just to remind us where we've been, we heard about the votum where we say our help is in the name of the Lord, what that means and why we say it. Then we heard God's greeting to us, grace be unto you and peace. We considered the singing that we do in the worship service. We heard why we read the law and the confessions in the worship service, why there is prayer in the worship service. We heard about the collections, the giving of tithes and more. Then we also considered the centrality of God's word in the worship service. And last Sunday, our godly behavior in the house of God. So there's just one thing left for us to consider together, and that is the benediction. The benediction, what is said in by way of blessing at the end of the worship service. Now there's several benedictions in the Word of God, and we're going to consider the one that is most famous, and that is from Numbers chapter 6. And we'll be considering our text there from Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. This is the word of God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. As for the words of our text, and we want to consider the theme then, the benediction, and answer three questions that arise from this text. And first of all, who commands us to do this? And then secondly, what does it actually say? And thirdly, what does it confirm? So who commands the benediction? What does it say? And what does it confirm? Who commands it, first of all? Well, you see it in verses 22 and 23. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. So it is the Lord who is speaking, the I am who I am, the unchangeable, faithful, covenant-keeping God. He speaks to Moses, his servant, who is already in the Old Testament the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the covenant. And he speaks to Aaron and to his sons, the priests of Jehovah, also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are to speak to the children of Israel, God's chosen people, Abraham's seed, in the New Testament, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called Abraham's seed. So we have these four main characters, the Lord, Moses, Aaron, and the children of Israel. And you'll notice that these commands are given by spoken words. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, on this, why shall you bless the children of Israel, saying to them. So God communicates in the Old Testament and the New Testament with his people by means of words that he speaks. That's very important for us to remember that this morning, because Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is the Lord who speaks, first of all, in giving the command for the benediction. And what exactly does the Lord tell Moses to say to Aaron and to his sons as they go to bless the people? On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. And the Lord gives very detailed directions, word for word, what they are to say. That's very clear from the Word of God. On this wise shall you bless the people. It wasn't up to Aaron and his sons to make up their own blessing in their own words. No, he says, this is how I command you to bless my people. It's never up to God's servants to make up their own message. It's got to be God's word. On this wise shall you speak or bless or pray. Boys and girls, we can imagine together Moses going to Aaron, his brother, and his nephews, Eleazar and Ithamar, and saying, now listen very carefully, men. The Lord is going to say something to you. Make sure you hear it and do it right. And you can be very sure that Aaron and his sons listened very carefully to what Moses had to say. Because in that family of Aaron, there's two sons missing already. Nadab and Abihu. You remember Nadab and Abihu, they had disobeyed God. They had brought strange fire to the altar. And three chapters earlier, chapter 3, verse 4, you read that Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord because of that. So you can be sure that Aaron and his sons are listening very, very carefully. That they will do it the way the Lord says it. Who commands the benediction? The Lord God Almighty. And we must do it His way. So what exactly then does the benediction say? When Aaron and his sons went to bless the children of Israel, what must they say? These words, saying, these words, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Those words are what they are to say. And if you read that carefully and you listen to it carefully, you will notice several things right away. Three times it is the Lord who is mentioned. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the covenant God of Israel. This benediction is given in three sentences. The second one a little bit longer than the first, and the third a little longer than the second, as if it's an ever greater blessing that becomes richer and fuller. And each statement is building on the one that came before it and expanding. And it uses the singular word thee. See, in Old English, that thee means you singular. You need to hear that. You, singular. So when those priests said this blessing, they were addressing every single one of those people personally. Yes, the nation of Israel as a whole, and only that nation, but all those people personally. And the Lord is mentioned first, and then the people. The Lord is giving. The people are receiving. Well, what does it say? The Lord bless thee. It means the Lord will prosper you. The Lord cause good to come to you. That can mean an outward way, supplying all your needs for your daily life. That's true for us today already, isn't it? Nobody here lacks anything for our daily life, the necessities of life. We have our everything we need. Food, clothing, shelter. But that's not all it talks about. That's not the main thing it talks about. It speaks especially of spiritual blessings. And think about in our families how this comes to bear, the blessings we have. Every one of our families has Bibles, plural. Children, we have parents who teach us how to pray. Most of us have a Christian education. We have a church family. We have the gospel every Lord's Day. We have everything we need. Think of our congregation. The Lord gives us this place to meet in peace every Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day, He brings us His Word. He hasn't left us over to ourselves. We have numerous good books, even right here in the library. Psalm 134 says, "The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Notice the wording. The Lord bless thee. That doesn't say the Lord blessed thee or the Lord blesses thee, but the Lord bless thee. You just need to keep that in mind as we go forward. We'll get back to it in a few moments. But just think of that. The priests say to all of these people, "The Lord bless you," singular. That's an Old Testament institution that was carried over into the New Testament. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24. He led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So as he is ascending into heaven, he's blessing his disciples, possibly using these very same words of Numbers chapter 6. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." And to keep thee means to watch or preserve you. It speaks of God's dealings with his covenant people, like shepherds keeping their watch over their flocks by night, watching over them, keeping them safe, preserving their lives. The Lord kept Israel safe in the wilderness. The Lord keeps his people safe today. Psalm 121 says, "The Lord is your keeper, the one who preserves you." And the keeping of God's people is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 42 verse 6, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people." Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that believers are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Jude writes in his letter that only God is able to keep you from falling. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. One commentator puts it this way: the face of God is the personality of God turned towards man. The personality of God turned towards man. That's what the psalmist is praying for in Psalm 80. Three times he says, "Turn us again, O Lord of God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Daniel prays, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." The Lord's blessing that goes together with his face shining upon us. And when that happens, and when we realize it, it's truth, then we confess what it says in Psalm 21, "Thou hast made me exceeding glad with thy countenance," with thy face. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And that means to show you his favor, that undeserved kindness of God toward people. That word gracious comes from the root word grace. And that's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, where it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." When Joseph first sees Benjamin coming, when he's in Egypt, he says, "God be gracious to you, my son." Oh, that graciousness, that's one of the attributes of the Lord. As he reveals himself in the Bible, he calls himself gracious. Exodus 34. The Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth in his earthly ministry, he spoke gracious words. That's what Luke 4 tells us. They all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Peter writes that believers have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And that graciousness comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The word countenance is the same word as the word face. That's it. So in verse 26, when it says countenance, that's the same word as the word face in verse 25. And the Lord gives us there a little glimpse, a picture of how he deals with his people. It is like a smile from the Lord on his people. It means to look upon somebody with favor, that the Lord looks in favor on his people. That's why you read in the Bible so many times this kind of prayer, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. That's why you read the psalmist in Psalm 42 speaking to his own soul, and he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Looking for the face of God to smile upon him. How is it possible for Jehovah God to look in favor on sinners? How can that be? That holy, righteous God. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 tells us, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See how every aspect of this benediction comes back to Jesus Christ. It's impossible without him. A look of favor, not a look of condemnation. A look of favor, not as from a stranger, but with a smile from a friend. And the last phrase, and give thee peace. And that carries with it the meaning of all of God's peaceful thoughts towards his people. It's the Hebrew word shalom. Peace with God. Especially in covenant relationship with God. Wellness of the soul. Psalm 29 says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And the Old Testament gospel promises in Isaiah 54, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on thee. And it's fulfilled again in the New Testament in the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. The world gives and takes. But when Jesus gives you peace, he never takes it again. It's not just the absence of enmity, but it is positively to be reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so familiar, aren't we, with the Christmas promise of Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called, at the end of that line, the Prince of Peace. And of his peace there shall be no end. That's where that peace comes from in the blessing, and give thee peace. Paul writes in Romans 15, now the God of peace be with you all. And it's the same peace in the Old Testament as in the New. In Acts 10 verse 36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. It's always by Jesus Christ. And I ask again, how can the Lord God, the perfect, holy, righteous God, pronounce such a blessing on such sinful people? How can that be? In the table talk of November 2018, so just a few months ago, they had an article on the benediction. And it says in part this, dear believers, we are blessed because Jesus Christ was cursed in our place. On the cross, beaten and torn, abandoned by God and by his disciples, with the weight of our sins on his shoulders, Christ received the opposite of the benediction. There, God said to Jesus, the Lord curse thee and forsake thee. The Lord turn away his face from thee and condemn thee. The Lord pour out his just wrath upon thee and give thee hell. And it is only because of that that we may hear at the end of the worship service, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's the only reason. But what does this benediction confirm? We'll try to answer that question after we sing. 221. So we know who commanded the benediction. We know what it actually says. But the third question is, what does it confirm? We need to ask the question this morning, what is really happening at the end of the worship service when the pastor pronounces the blessing? Is he saying, Jehovah blesses you in every aspect of your being, physically and spiritually? Is he making that a statement as a fact? Or is he saying, may Jehovah bless you? As a wish that he hopes will come true? Or is the pastor praying for this blessing? Is it only true for believers? Or does it mean the same thing for everyone who hears it? After all, it says the Lord bless thee, you, singular. The way it's written in Hebrew, it's like an imperative, like it's used in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The form of that word is a command. We use it as a prayer, as a request. But that can also be used in a different way. Like when your mom or dad says, go clean your bedroom. A write out command. Or when the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. A certain sense of that word, depending on how it's used, it's either a command or a prayer. When the Lord uses it for us, it is always a command. And when we use this kind of word towards the Lord, it's always a prayer. But when the Lord commands us to use it, It's more than a prayer. It's a prayer with a promise attached. Think about that. When the Lord's people pray, give us this day our daily bread, that's a prayer with a promise attached. Because the Lord has said, I will never let my people suffer beyond what they can bear. Give us this day our daily bread. How is it used here? What does this mean, the Lord bless thee and keep thee? In America, they say, God bless America. Very few of them really know what they're saying or what that means. But same with us, we really are not all that sure what we mean by this. So we turn to some very wise men from the past to help us understand. Luther, for example. Luther, when he comments on number 6, says, the desire of the blessing is that the Lord God will lift up the light of his word on us and so keep it over us, that it may shine in our hearts with strength enough to overcome all the opposition of the devil, death and sin, and all adversity, terror and despair. So for Luther, we are expressing a desire. Another very wise man said, the great formula of the blessing, the benediction, was primarily a prayer for the Lord's presence, grace, and keeping power. So that person said, it is a prayer. Calvin says, it is worthy to remark that the priests are commanded to pronounce the form of the benediction audibly. And from that we gather that they preached God's grace, which the people might apprehend by faith. So you have three very wise, learned, godly men who actually have three different angles of looking at this. We're expressing a desire to the Lord. Lord, we really desire you to bless us. Or we're simply praying for it. Lord, please bless us. Or we're using it like a gospel proclamation, preaching. That is to be received by faith. But what is it then? Are we simply expressing our desire? Is it a prayer? Or is it a means of grace? Is it part of the preaching? Always keep in mind that the Old Testament priest and the New Testament pastor really can do no more in themselves than pray for a blessing. So in reality, it's a prayer carrying with it a promise. Because also remember that that Old Testament priest and that New Testament pastor are both ordained by God and pronounce this blessing as one who has authority from God. But to more fully understand what's going on, we have to look at verse 27. Verse 27. Where the Lord says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. So that's what's happening. The priest, when he pronounces the blessing, is putting the Lord's name on the children of Israel. Now, children, you know, that's the same thing that happens when you are baptized. Right? I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's name is being put on you. We are called by his name. Now, some people think that's the only time that the Lord's name was put on them was at their baptism, but actually, it happens every single time with the benediction. It doesn't just happen on baptism Sunday, it happens every Sunday. The Lord puts his name on you. And a question for me and for you is, what do we do with that benediction? Do we ever really hear it? I know for some of the children that the worship service takes so long already and that they've come to know that when the minister says that, now it's over. Now we can go home. And that's understandable for a little child. But for the rest of us, does the benediction just leave you cold? Is it just another part of the worship service? Just some meaningless words, same old, same old. I have to say this to myself too. Do we become careless with these things? Have I become careless with these things? I hope if I have and you notice that, you come and tell me. Because do you not need the benediction? Can you really live without God's blessing you and keeping you and His face shining on you? Can you live without God being gracious to you? And don't you need His peace in your soul? Can you go home, back to work, back to your family, back to your friends, without God's benediction? Have you ever listened so carefully to the benediction that you actually begin to pray it and pray with it? And the pastor says, the Lord bless thee, then your heart is crying out, Lord, Lord, bless me indeed. Lord, let thy face shine on me like the sun shining, so I may know your presence in my life. Oh, Lord God, be gracious to me. I need thy grace today. And Lord, give me thy peace. Not the peace of the world. That does me no good whatsoever. That's of no benefit to me. But give me thy peace. Give me the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. And they shall put my name upon my children, says the Lord, when they pronounce the benediction. But he says something more. The very end of the verse. Yes, says Jehovah, they, the priest, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them. So we imagine the high priest Aaron and his sons, after the sacrifices are made, they stood in front of all the people, they lifted up their hands, they pronounced the blessing. They're addressing each Israelite gathered there, the Lord bless thee. Do you think that all those people were listening in exactly the same way? Or were perhaps some of their minds wandering off somewhere else like ours do sometimes when the benediction is pronounced? Were they all receiving the blessing of the Lord and going in peace? Did they all receive eternal blessings from the Lord? Were they all head for head saved, and are they all now in heaven? It says, and I will bless them. If you just stick to the book of Numbers, 10 chapters later, we read of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They rebelled against the Lord. They had the Lord's name put on them too. The Lord said of them too, and I will bless them. And yet, in Numbers 16 we read, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all that pertained unto Korah. Why is that? Why were some people under the blessing, having the Lord's name placed on them, and yet not blessed? It is because the benediction must be received by faith. The benediction confirms and strengthens our faith in the Lord. Now the whole people of Israel all received the same blessings in the wilderness. Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians 10. A whole list of the blessings. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Though they received the same blessings, those same rich blessings, they had the Lord's name put on them. It was said to them personally, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And that's also how we leave this place on Sundays, with the Lord's name put upon us. And yet it says, with many of them, God was not pleased. Would he have to say the same about many of us? Are we different than his Old Testament people? Why was he not pleased with them? Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Yes, Jehovah said of each of them, and I will bless them. And instead of embracing that blessing of God, they went and lusted after evil things. Things contrary to the will of God. Instead of believing it when the Lord says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, they doubted it. And they lusted after evil things. They believed the lie of the devil. Instead of trusting the Lord in the benediction, they lusted after all kinds of evil things. And Isaiah 48 verse 22 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked. The benediction is the gospel promise of God to be received by faith. And if we do not receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will speak against us. If we hear the benediction of the Lord putting his name upon us as we leave this place, and we go out there, back to our homes, and lust after evil things, and by lusting after evil things, I mean live our lives contrary to the word of God, and God is not pleased with us either. And then that blessing is not a blessing. It turns into a curse. So that brings us to the end of the worship service. The conclusion of this series. Much more could be said. And I'm sure it could have been said much better. But I hope that we gather at least this much. That all of the worship service, everything we do in the worship service is to be to the glory of God. To the exaltation of his name in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it must be done decently and in order. Because we serve a God of order. Elder Fintiman read from Hebrews 10. He stopped at the end of verse 24. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 continues by saying what that is, the love and the good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting each other, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So we hear from that, not just of a worship service, but that we are to be here in the worship service. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, assemble together for the worship service. And then it makes no difference who the preacher is. God commands us to be here. And so we come. If we're members of this church, then we belong here for every single worship service. I know there can be compelling reasons why we cannot make it. I'm not speaking of those exceptions. But if at all possible, according to God's word, we must be here. And yet we must realize too at the same time that if we do not worship in faith, then the whole thing is hypocrisy. Then the worship service is sin against God. So the command is we must worship in spirit and in truth. Meaning it's not just an outward activity, it's a spiritual matter. And in truth, according to the word of God, but without grace, you worship you know not what, Jesus said to the woman at the well. And we all need the Holy Spirit for every aspect of our lives, including the worship service. The beauty is, one of our confessions puts it this way, God will give his grace and spirit to those who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. So that's why in every prayer before the worship service, we are pleading with God, send this Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. We need to realize something, beloved congregation. That with all the votums, all our expressions of our help is in the name of the Lord. And all the salutations, all God's greetings that we have heard of grace and peace be unto you, and all our singing of our psalms, and all our tithing and more, and the confessions we have made, and having the name of the Lord put on us every single Lord's Day, that unless we are by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall go lost. Because it is only through faith in Christ, that we even begin to worship him. Only through faith in Christ that we begin to worship in spirit and in truth. So today, when we receive the benediction by faith, believing it as gospel truth, then we receive the blessing of the Lord indeed. And then we really will go in peace. Peace with God, and we'll be able to live in peace with our neighbor. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to pronounce the blessing, I look around and some of you are with your eyes closed and are looking down. Others are shrugging on their jackets, and others are making sure their candy bag is put back in the purse or whatever it is, not paying a single bit of attention to the benediction. What a loss that is. What a loss, because this benediction is such an amazing statement of the grace of God to be received by faith. And children, little children too, you have heard many things in the past 9 weeks about the worship service, and I'm sure some of it has been difficult for you to understand. But in so many ways, you participate with us in the worship service. You hear the sermons too, In every sermon, I try to address you several times, and you know when I say children, I see sometimes your mom and dad say, listen, I was talking to you. Right? Children, listen. You leave here too at the end of the Lord's day with the Lord's name on you. And the last thing that the Lord did in this worship service was to have His servant, your pastor, put the Lord's name on you. And the Lord said, and I will bless them to you, little children, as well as to the older ones. Then let us all, on the way home today, let it be on the way home after every worship service, be praying, oh Lord, for Jesus' sake, bless me really truly, as you have promised to do. I close with Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we have heard again Old Testament gospel. Lord, we have heard of the benediction that you have commanded Aaron and his sons to pronounce on the children of Israel, a benediction that we may firmly believe, O Lord Jesus Christ, that thou did also pronounce on thy disciples, and that we continue to do to this day. So Lord, we pray that every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest here, may receive it by faith. Oh Lord, we so desire to glorify the Lord our God, to worship the Lord also in the way we hear the benediction. Oh Lord, open our ears. Open our hearts to receive the blessing of the Lord. Lord, please keep us from sin. Forgive our sins. Bring us safely home and back again this afternoon. Bless Reverend Beakey as he will be preaching here. Fill thy servant with thy Holy Spirit. Bless his ministry among us. And be with me as I will be preaching at Trinity this afternoon. Also there, Lord, we need thy Holy Spirit to fill us in preaching and hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.